Boker Tov, we're continuing the book of Shofetim. We concluded the story of Gidon. Gidon passed away after his error at the end of his life in making that golden tunic that became an object of worship. He does pass away, and the Jewish people are on the whole, they're good during his time. But then the text told us that he had a son. He had a son from a concubine in Shechem, and the boy's name was Avimelech. And the text didn't tell us much about this boy, but it just said that he had this son, kind of like foreshadowing. In the meantime, the text goes on to tell us that the Jewish people did not do good to the house of Gidon. And the following story is the example of them not doing good and not showing like kindness for the house of Gidon after all the kindness he did for them. The story begins in the 9th chapter of the book of Shofetim. And it talks about this son that was foreshadowed during the lifetime of Gidon. We're at the end of the Gidon story, and talks about the son, and it says that he went to the people of Shechem, and he said, look, you have two options. You have the 70 sons of Gidon, who are not really your blood, or you have me, who I am a Shechemite, my mother is from Shechem. Who do you want as your leader? And the people of Shechem say, you know what? We'll take you over the sons of Gidon. Now, of course, that's an example of the Jewish people not showing their appreciation for Gidon and for his family, and going with the concubine's son instead. But what he does, once he gets the power, is he takes 70 coins from the house of Baal Berit, which was a house of idol worship, and he takes those 70 coins, and he hires some hitmen with those 70 coins, and he slaughters the entire family of Gidon, and he kills them all on one stone. Of those 70, 69 he kills, and the 70th, or a 70th, named Yotam, he survives by hiding. So now we're on Pasuk Vav, and the aftermath of this slaughter. Vayasafu kol ba'alei shechem b'chol bet milo, vayelechu vayamlichu et avimelech lemelech, im elon mutzav asher b'shechem. And they gathered all of the people of Shechem, and the whole house of Milo, and they went, and they made Avimelech king, and or they enthroned him as king, and they did this in a place called Elon. It's the plain. I don't know how to translate this, to be honest. Translate the sixth pasuk.
Six. All the inhabitants of Shechem and all of Beth Milo gathered together, and they went to and crowned Avimelech as king in the plain of the monument.
In the plain of the monument. Very strange. I don't even know what that is.
Monument to what?
I don't know. Elon Mutzav. Elon is a plain. Mutzav, they're calling it a monument. That's in Shechem. So some place, some central location in Shechem where you'd see it as befitting to crown a king. So they go, the people of Shechem go, and they crown Avimelech as king there. Pasuk Zayin. V'agidu leotam v'yelech v'yamon b'rosh har gerizim. V'yisa kolo v'yikra. ויאמר להם שמעו אלי בעלי שכם וישמע עליכם אלוהים. So they told Yotam, the one who had survived the slaughter of Avimelech, so they tell him, and he goes and he stands at the head or at the top of Har Gerizim, Mount Gerizim. ויישא קולו ויקרא, he raises his voice and he calls out. ויאמר להם, and he says to them, to the people who crowned Avimelech, he says, שמעו אלי בעלי שכם, listen to me, you people of Shechem. Ve'ishma alechem Elohim, and the God will then listen to you. Meaning, listen to me, because it'll be good for you if you listen to heed my words.
Yeah.
So this guy Yotam, he goes. So what's the significance of this?
He's the last son of Gidon.
He's the last son of Gidon, and where is he standing?
Sending them a warning shot.
Exactly, he's gonna send them a warning shot. Now, where is he standing?
On top of a mountain.
Har Gerizim. Do you remember where Har Gerizim is? Why Har Gerizim is important? Not in Shofetim, it's in Yoshua.
It's in Ephraim?
It should be.
It says Gezer.
No, it was Gerizim. It should be in Ephraim or more north than that even. North of Ephraim. Near Shechem. Where's Shechem? It's right there.
See Shechem over here.
Yeah, but do you remember where we saw Har Gerizim? In Sefer Yoshua. If you go to the 7th chapter of Sefer Yoshua, I think it was 7th chapter. seventh chapter of Sefer Yoshua. It's like the ninth chapter of Sefer Yoshua.
Which story was it a part of?
It was the part, basically the answer is that Har Gerizim is where we did the covenant whenever we came into the land of Israel.
That was, what do you mean? When we came in, that was Gilgal.
No. Where we made the covenant. There was a point in which we got up on the mountain and the Kohanim did the blessing to the people. And we announced the curses and the blessings to he who keeps the Torah. That was at the beginning of the book of Yoshua that happened. And that was done on Har Gerizim, which means Har Gerizim represents the place on which the Torah is re-inaugurated or re-established. The covenant of the Torah is re-established between the Jewish people and Hashem.
Here, so it says here, Yotam delivered his curse on the mountain that God chose for blessing, Deuteronomy 27:12, in order to imply that evil...
Doesn't say where in Yoshua?
It says...
Yeah, it says Deuteronomy.
People can transform blessing to curse.
Where did this happen? Oh. Here. Here it is. Let me read you the Psukim. Az Yivne Yoshua Mizbeach L'Adonai Elohei Yisrael V'Har Eval. Har Gerizim and Har Eval are next to each other. כאשר ציווה משה עבר עבד אדוני את בני ישראל, ככתוב בספר תורת משה, מזבח אמנים שלמות אשר לא הניף עליהם ברזל, ויעלו עליו עולות לאדוני מזבחו שלמים, and they reenacted basically the Har Sinai experience. That's at the end of the 8th chapter of Sefer Yoshua.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Don't remember.
Here. And then, וכל ישראל זקנה ושוטרים ושופטיו עומדים מזה ומזה לארון נגד הכהנים הלוויים, נושא אהרון ברית אדוני, כגר כאזרח, חציו אל מול הר גריזים, והחציו אל מול הר אבל. Okay, so what's the significance then if this guy Yotam, who is the remnant of the family of Gidon, goes on the mountain of Gerizim to make his announcement, his warning to the people of Shechem for the treacherous act that they have just engaged in? He's basically telling them that I'm standing at the place of the Torah and you're not. I'm standing on the place of our covenant and I'm the one who is speaking in line with our covenant, and what you are doing, your behavior, is not. And if you want God to listen to you, you should think back to the covenant and how the covenant expected you to behave.
So, I have a question about this.
Yeah.
You know how Gidon kept getting, like, messages from God and touched by God and so many interventions that were miraculous and whatnot? Is Yotam doing this out of the goodness of his heart, or he's doing this out of vengeance? Like, where does he, because he's not the king, he's not the leader, there is none apparently right now, but he's going up and he's saying, like, I'm on this side, listen to me and God will help you. Where does he have the authority to?
So it's not really saying God will help you. V'yishma alechem Elohim, and God will listen to you. I don't know what that means, to be honest.
Listen to me and listen to you. That's basically you're putting words.
Yeah,
in
but
the
he's
mouth
not. But when you look at the story, he's not saying this as like, okay, you guys, you messed up. Let me help you now. He's saying you're gonna look at what he says to them, and you'll see the tone of his statements.
Okay.
Pasuk chet haloch halachu ha'etzim. He gives a story. Okay, this is a parable. Haloch halachu ha'etzim limshuach aleihem melech. The trees of the forest went to anoint for themselves a king. Bayomeru lazait. So they said to the olive tree, Molcha alenu, could you please be our king? So then the olive tree answers them, Pasuk tet, Bayomer lahem azait, Hechodalti et dishni, Asher bi yechabedu Elohim va'anashim, Ve'alachti lanua al ha'etzim.
Hechodalti, like Chulda.
Maybe. Chulda. I don't know where Chulda's name comes from, but Chodalti mean Chadal. Chadal lihiot lesara orach kanashim. She stopped. Have I stopped my ability to give of my oil? That now I'm going to go and become king over the trees. So he says to them basically, I have other things to do. I have a job. I have oil that I have to give to people that they thereby make people honorable, right, through the anointing of my oil. And I'm going to go leave my job and become leader over the trees. So, by the way, how do they translate the word dishni?
Threshing board?
Shall I call
shemen, deshen.
No,
deshen, deshen v'shemen. Same thing. Okay, so my oil. Have I finished my oil? Look at me, Tzudatzion. Have I looked in? Have I finished my oil that through me people are honored? And I'm going to go become king over the trees. Pasuk Yud. So the tree said, okay, the olive tree does not want to become leader. So they said to the fig tree, L'chi at malchi alenu. So you become king over us. Or queen. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Atomer lahem ateena. He chodalti et motki. Have I finished my sweetness? Vet tenuvati hatova. And my good... how do you translate tenuva? My good
produce, sweetness and goodly produce.
Produce, etenuvati. Where did I? Hatova ve'alachti. I should go and become king or ruler over the trees. Why would I do that? Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomeru ha'etzim la'gafen. So they now turn to the vine. They said to the vineyard or to the vine. L'chiat molchi alenu. So you become king over us, or rule over us. Fatomer lahem agefen, he chodalti et tiroshi. Have I finished my wine? Ham sameach Elohim va'anashim, that makes people and God happy. What does it mean? Makes God happy. What does that mean? That wine makes God happy.
Does
wine actually make God happy?
Gladdens? No.
So what is it? What does it mean? It's because wine is brought for nisuch. It's because you bring it for libations. It's part of the mizbeach. So it's part of the offering we give to God. So the same way, it's a reyach nichoach to Hashem. Whenever you have like a frankincense, so you bring, you know, as an offering to Hashem, it's a reyach nichoach, a good smell to God. So wine, when it's brought as a libation offering, is also quote unquote misameach God. And then v'anashim, the wine also makes people happy. There's ve'alachti lanu al ha'etzim, and I should go stop giving my wine to people and to God. And I should go and rule over the trees. I have better things to do than to be leader. Okay, so that's the common response that all the trees in this parable are giving to the forest. The lower trees, they go to the olive, they go to the fig, they go to the vine, and they say, "Will you be for us a king?" And all of them answer, "I have already a job to do. I'm going to leave my job to go and rule over the trees. Why would I do that?" There's a very nice in Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, have I finished my wine that makes God and people happy? So it says va'anashim, and there's a typical if you look in the Targum, he says anashim rav revaya. What does rav revaya mean? Revaya is people that are respected, distinguished men. So what's the idea there?
Because upstanding people use wine to good advantage, but other
exactly.
people become intoxicated and let wine influence them.
Exactly, I think the Radak says this. Radak says,
yeah.
Who becomes happy from wine? Distinguished people, meaning people that know how to use it. Mm-hmm. If you're a person of honor, then you know how to have wine in a way where it's in good proportion. But if you're not a distinguished person, if you're a lower person, wine could be your ultimate downfall. You can abuse it. Okay, so that's a nice chidush on Radak's part. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomeru chola etzim el ha'atad. So then the trees go to the thorn bush. Lechata melocha alenu. You, thorn bush, you have nothing else to give. So become our king. Vayomer ha'atad el ha'etzim. So the thorn bush said to the people, to the trees, Im be'emet atem moshachim oti lemelech alechem. If you're really making me, or anointing me as king upon you, bo'u chasu v'tzili. Come, enjoy my shade. Now, what happens if you try to enjoy the shade of a thorn bush? You get cut. Bim ayin. And if you do not want to enjoy my shade, tetzeesh min atad. Let a fire come from the thorn bush. Ve'tochal et arzei alevanon. And it will eat the trees of the cedar of Lebanon. Meaning it will eat even the strongest of trees in the forest. Pasuk tetzayin. Ve'ata im be'emet uftamim asitem. Now Yotam finishes his parable and he turns to the people and he says, if you've really done the truth and goodness to Vatamlichu et Avimelech by making Avimelech king, and if really you've done good to the house of Gidon named Yerubal and to his family. Vim ki gmul yadav asitem lo. And according to how much he's given you, you've given him. You've done to him. Yeah, of his kindness. Pasuk Yudzayin. Asher nilcham avi alechem. By the way, and remember that my father fought for you. Vayeshlech et nafsho minegen, and he risked his life. Vayetzel etchem miyad midyan, and he saved you from the hands of Midyan. Ve'atem kamtem al bet avi hayom v'targu et panav. You have come today, and you've killed all of his sons. Shivim ish al even ahat. 70 men on one stone. V'tamlichu et avimelech ben amato al ba'ale shechem. And you made his king Avimelech, the son of his maidservant, on the people of Shechem, because he's your brother. Does that all make sense? Is that all a fair way of behaving towards Gidon, who helped you so much?
Good question.
Wait, ve'im uftamim asitem. And if you've done truth and goodness, and if this is your understanding of justice and goodness to someone who did so much good for you, then enjoy Avimelech. And he will enjoy and be happy with you as well. And this is all obviously very, very sarcastic. And if no, and if you will not enjoy the company of Avimelech, Avimelech, a fire should come from him, and it should eat all of the people of Shechem and the house of Milo, this main place in Shechem. And the fire will come from the Shechem people, and will also consume Avimelech. Vayanos Yotam, Vayivrach, Vayelech Be'era, Vayeshev Sham Mipnei Avimelech Achiv. Yotam runs away. He runs to a well, or to some place called Be'er. I don't know which is the correct translation. And he dwelled there because out of fear or out of concern for Avimelech, his brother. So that is the famous parable of Yotam and his sarcastic plea or encouragement, or whatever you want to call it, to the people of Shechem after they made Avimelech their king in a way that was really, really unjust to the family of Gidon. Now, one thing I do want to point out, what's so fascinating about his parable is that if you think about it, anybody in the parable, the trees that had something to offer
were the righteous people.
The ones had no reason, they did not want to be leaders over people. People who have something to offer, who are already doing good, they don't have the emptiness and the lack of fulfillment, which makes them try to find fulfillment through the honor and respect of subjects. It is the one who is empty and has nothing to offer that develops like this insecurity in their soul, this lack of confidence in themselves, that makes them want to subjugate other people. So it's the thorn bush that tends towards positions of leadership, as opposed to the person who has a lot to give. The person who has a lot to give does not need more fulfillment by subjugating other people. That's a cheap way for someone who is insecure to make themselves feel better about a life that is not a productive one. So you see that in the political world, by the way. The people you find at the top of the political sphere, there are so many lowlives. Because these are people that are...
They have nothing better
to offer. So to fill a void in their heart for how little they have to offer, they subjugate other people. Yeah, question.
Two.
And that was Avimelech, by the way. Yeah. Avimelech had nothing.
Yeah.
So he was... he had an inferiority complex.
He killed 70 souls. Isn't Yotam number 70? Isn't Avimelech
It's all around number. It's a round number.
Guesstimating at this point.
No, it's not guesstimating at all. It's a round number. That's the Torah is very consistently uses round numbers. Okay. Always, always, always. Arba'im yakenu. 40 you should strike him. Now how many lashes does a person get? 39. It's not 40.
The other thing was what you just said about emptiness. Didn't Gidon his whole turning into the shofet say, who am I? I have nothing to offer. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Was that like...
That was a nice thing. When the angel first came to Gidon and he said, you should be a leader over Israel. Gidon said, but I don't have the proper status to be a leader over Israel. He didn't say, he said, I am from the lowest tribe and my father's household is the lowest in the tribe and I'm the youngest in my father's household. So Gidon, he didn't want the leadership. Anybody who wants the leadership is problematic. Because if they want the leadership, it often comes from a place of inferiority or a complex of inferiority.
But at the end, he did want it. He said, no, none of my sons, this and that. But we had this discussion. he went out of his way to do.
Okay, that's at the end of his life. We're talking at the beginning when he's made the leader. Gidon has his flaws. He's not a perfect leader. Yeah, Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen.